Blog Talk Radio.
Rhyme ruler, the mind of the master, the prime poet designed for disaster, a crime candidate, the light heavyweight, I might levitate right through the heaven's gate, rhyme record break neck spines and vertebrae, step up and plane like Kanye, I heard him say, it's murder one when he murder tracks, I'm a dirt bag, flirting with songbirds and Birkin bags, my first rap catch Roberta Flack, I'm a certified Mac, but I'm sure you ain't heard of that. Slim thugging them hoes, they been loving the flow. They been hunting for men like in Vogue. And I'm in season, the season vet. I don't need respect. All I need is a check. Might check.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much wherever you are in this world, however you may be taking in Grizzly Bear Blues Live, for joining us this week. I am your co-host, your host tonight, flying solo, Joe Monax. I am the site manager over at SB Nation's Grizzly Bear Blues. Very thankful to hold that position. And my co-host, Brandon Connor, associate editor over at GBB, not able to be with us this week. He is with us in our thoughts, in our grizzly actions as we look at this team. And I mentioned this on Twitter this past week, and I'll talk more about this certainly with our next guest, our first guest on the show this week. It seems like for the first time since I became a Grizzlies fan, at least, you know, the past few years, especially, the Memphis Tigers have dominated the news cycle in Memphis with Penny Hardaway reports and Tubby Smith possibly being let go at the end of the season whenever it ends for the Memphis Tigers. And, you know, between that and between it being a down season for the Grizzlies, it's hard out here for a site manager of a Grizzlies fan blog. But that's probably the definition of a first world problem. So no tears for me, no weeping, no crying over spilled podcasters and bloggers. I hope you're enjoying the show every week that you tune in, and I hope this week is no different. Again, my name is Joe Molinax. Welcome to Grizzly Bear Blues Live. Ways to get in touch with the show, at GBB Live is the fastest, quickest way on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter, at Joe Molinax. I mentioned my co-host, Brandon Connor, not with us this week, but you can follow him on Twitter. Great content from him. Hashtag content at Ball from Grace. And then, of course, the big one, Grizzly Bear Blues itself at SBN Grizzlies. Very excited for the show this week. We're going to hop right into it. Got a great couple of guests for you since I'm on my own. I didn't want to be too lonely, so I thought I'd get us two guests. And thankfully, we got two of the very best that you could possibly talk to about the Memphis Grizzlies. Eric Hasseltine, the radio voice of the Memphis Grizzlies. He also has a show on 92.9 FM ESPN Memphis, the Eric Hasseltine Show. We'll have him on the program later on in this podcast. But first, I'm excited to welcome back to the show a friend of the show. I consider him one of the very best, not just in Memphis, but in all of media in terms of being a writer, understanding his city, the connection to the teams that he covers. He's the author of After the Jump, which is a collection of columns on the best 20 years in Memphis sports. You can find that online, on Amazon, all sorts of different places. He's also a columnist at the Commercial Appeal of Memphis, and he's the host of the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN Memphis. He is Jeff Calkins. Jeff, how are you doing, sir?
I'm good, Joe.
I'm glad to hear that. We haven't spoken since your trip to the Olympics. I've heard you talk about it on your show, but just for our listeners, maybe a brief overview. I guess the main way to connect it to Grizzly Bear Blues Live is to maybe talk about how nice it was to not have to watch the Grizzlies for a couple of weeks.
You know, the funny thing is that I feel a little remiss because I'm here talking about the Grizzlies, and yet I have probably seen less of the Grizzlies in this particular season than any season in a long time, partly because I've been gone for 3 weeks to the Olympics, and partly just because, for various reasons, each game is a little bit less compelling than, you know, there's no playoff hunt to be in, et cetera. So, but the Olympics were, you know, this is my eighth, and I was surprised to go to this one. I sort of thought my Olympic days were over because the CA really had sort of been out of the Olympic business. The last one I'd done was London. But this one was entertaining in its own way. Probably the most fun I had was covering the curling final, the gold medal curling match. And so, but I'm glad to be home.
And we're glad to have you back, and of course we're glad to have you here on Grizzly Bear Blues Live. Your time is appreciated, so we'll get right into it. And you kind of alluded to this a moment ago, being honest and saying this was the least you've watched the Grizzlies in a while, for some fair reasons, I would say. But you, you're not alone, I think it's safe to say. Just going off of our site, our site's traffic, talking with others, talking with my boss over at SB Nation, talking with fans. I mean, tweeting during games. The Bulls game on Wednesday night was a great example. It was pretty slow on social media, on the blog itself. And obviously, Memphis being a smaller media market, our blog is not the largest compared to the Lakers and Celtics, those types of fan blogs. But still, you know, this time of year, as you mentioned, usually the Grizzlies are kind of gearing up for a playoff push. And that's certainly not the case this year. It's the first time for a lot of folks, whether it be blogger, media, pseudo, whatever you want to call me, folks like me, obviously fans at large, people that jumped on board during the grit and grind era. This is their first time kind of experiencing this team in this way. So maybe you have experience in this, of course, going back to the pyramid days and seeing that I believe I saw today, and I remember this from my research when I became a fan, the 95-96 Grizzlies had a, obviously before they came to Memphis, had a losing streak of 23 games. So I feel like at 15, the Memphis version of these of the Grizzlies has a chance at that. When it comes to actually covering this team, whether it's you as a media member, like I said, me following from afar as a blogger, the folks that we have writing for the site, or even if you're just a fan, you know, following this tank, I guess we can start obviously with the role of the media. What role do you think you have? And obviously, it's your job covering the Grizzlies in this sort of a down year. How do you kind of adapt from the run of success, which they obviously had, to the reality of now?
Well, it's funny. It's one of the things you often find is that people will say about the media that you like writing negative stuff and negative stuff sells and you write negative stuff for the clicks, et cetera. But it's interesting what you point out because the exact opposite is true. I know this as a sports fan myself, as someone who's covered the Buffalo, I mean, who's watched the Buffalo teams from afar for a long time. When they win, I want to read everything I can about them. I want to relive the win the next day in the paper or online or wherever. And when they lose, I'm not that interested. So far from people, you know, this idea that bad news sells, particularly in sports, good news is what sells. Good news is
great. And good news.
You see that right now. You see that right now with the Penny Hardaway stuff. Like, yeah, there's a bad news element of it, and the bad news would be bad news for Tubby Smith. People are excited. And so it's a very different deal when you're covering – and talking about this down year, and I've talked about this all the time on the, I mean, with my colleagues on the radio over at 92.9, there's only so much tank radio that you sort of feel like people have the stomach for. And then it's, there's a sameness to it after that. And let's be honest. I mean, when these were winning and winning big, I would begin every radio show that I had, because 92.9 has, and you're going to have Eric on later, we're the flagship station, and so we have all the highlights. And so I would literally begin every radio show by playing if they'd won the night before, particularly if the last couple months of the we would play all the highlights. Like, that's what we would do. And so, and then we'd talk about the games. Well, we don't play the highlights when they're losing 15 straight. And as a columnist, half of what I did was just try to capture the exuberant feeling after a win. Well, again, I'm not doing that after losses, and so it's a very different enterprise. I do think, you know, there are things that you're trying to do. You obviously focus on what's interesting about the team, and what's interesting about the team is going forward, the development of the young players. But then the tank is also been sort of in some ways frustrating, because I think in a couple of ways, but it's part of what I try to do both on Twitter and elsewhere. I do try to explain, because there's a lot of people who just think it's just an evil, the idea to even think about the tank or tanking or whatever, or just liking losses, basically. And honestly, like, so there, I think you try to explain the logic behind not intentionally losing games, but the logic behind finding the silver lining and seeing the future in losing games and what that can mean for the franchise and the excitement it can bring back to the franchise. But then secondly, and more importantly, I've lately been in this fight with people who, you know, the season ticket renewals just were released. The idea of they're trying to release season tickets. And I was in a discussion with someone recently. He was saying, you know, it's not going to be, people aren't going to renew because of this tanking. And there, my fundamental point has been, to the extent that this is not a fun season, it's because the Grizzlies are bad. It's because they're bad for a variety of reasons. It's not basically because they have intentionally tanked. They're injured, and they're developing young players and all of that. But they actually aren't, except for, you know, like playing – okay, so they don't play Markham back-to-backs anymore. But basically, they're not trying to lose games. They're just so woeful. And indeed, you can point to the fact that they didn't trade Mark, the fact that they didn't trade Tyreek as examples of the fact that they're not trying to lose games, or they weren't very good at trying to lose games. They're just bad. And so if you don't want to renew season tickets because you're not used to watching a bad team, well, that's fine. You've been spoiled over the last 7 years. If you don't want to because you're offended by this tanking, they're not really tanking. We're just talking about tanking because we're trying to extract the silver lining out of this season, which is the prospect of getting a first-class player to help next season be better. So those are the sorts of things that I end up talking about and writing about, and it's a very different and in many ways less satisfying deal than covering playoff runs.
You definitely kind of look for things to kind of write about. And my research that I do before I write posts for the blog, like today is a great example. I saw over on Pounding the Rock, the San Antonio Spurs blog, that Becky Hammon is in the mix for the Colorado State men's basketball job. So you could go over to grizzlybearblues.com right now, and I wrote an article about why the Memphis Grizzlies should consider hiring Becky Hammon. Hiring her because she's a woman, but just having her as a candidate because she's qualified. And it really is something where you kind of look for different spots. And you mentioned this a little bit, Jeff. You know, in radio, we don't have to get into your personal, there's folks in the Washington, D.C. area because the same thing's kind of brought up. You know, oh, you love when the Redskins are terrible. It makes you happy. Everybody listens. Like you said, it's the exact opposite. You know, people get radio bonuses, ratings bonuses, and that kind of stuff happens when the team is good. You know, a bunch of people aren't tuning in to listen to people complain about the team. So people in your line of work, people in, you know, in what I do, things are better, business is better when the team is better. And in this certain situation, it's pretty rough. It's a tough spot. You mentioned the season ticket holders and on one hand, and you mentioned this a little bit, you're never going to tell somebody how to spend their money. You know, it's their hard-earned cash. You spend it how you see fit. If you're not going to renew your season ticket, so be it. But you're not guaranteed a winning team. That's not what happens when you buy or pay for season tickets. And you're right. It's not like they went into the season saying, oh, we're going to lose on purpose. We're going to be terrible on purpose. They were trying to reload on the run, as people have been talking about for years now, trying to avoid this very thing happening. And they weren't able to do that. They got hit with too many injuries, and it just broke down from there. The only logical thing to do is rest Mark on back-to-backs and not rush Tyreek Evans back. You know, if he's truly a part of your future, if you think you really have a shot at the mid-level exception with him, it makes no sense to rush him back and have him possibly re-aggravate and hurt himself more, or even beyond the physical, damaging that relationship. If you're trying to get out of this hole, which we'll talk more about here in a little bit, you're going to need Tyreek Evans. You're going to need some of these guys to kind of come around, and you're certainly going to need a lot of these young players to work out, as well as Marc Gasol, obviously the opposite of young with this Grizzlies roster. Mark has been interesting this season, Jeff. and we're talking with Jeff Calkins of 92.9 FM ESPN Memphis' Jeff Calkins Show, also a great columnist over at the Memphis Commercial Appeal. Follow him on Twitter if you don't already, at Jeff_Calkins. I have a feeling if you're listening to this podcast, you probably do, but shout out to Jeff there on Twitter. Mark is a guy who, obviously, Jeff, has a unique personality. We've talked about that before, you and I, on the show and elsewhere. He's a different bird, not in a bad way. He does tremendous work with St. Jude. I've written recently that I've been hard on Mark in the past, but I would say this is one of his better years in terms of leadership. You can actively see him out there on the floor coaching players up. You still see signs of frustration, but he's trying to make the best of a bad situation. You can see that. But recently he's had comments coming out about how this isn't a G League team. There's a league for development. His brother Powell was quoted recently before the Grizzlies played the Spurs, you know, essentially alluding to the possibility of him moving on or leaning that way. Marc Gasol is under contract with the Memphis Grizzlies through 2019, and then he has a player option that he can opt into or out of if he chooses. Do you see him playing out the rest of his time in Memphis the next 2 years? Obviously, he has that choice. He's earned that through his contract. Or do you think there's a real possibility that he's going to up and leave, or maybe even the Memphis Grizzlies do decide to trade him this summer or before next trade deadline?
Well, first of all, I agree with you. I think it's been a really good year in terms of Mark's leadership. It's a franchise where, let's be clear, like, there's no one to speak for the franchise here. And so Mark
right.
has turned to for everything. I mean, there's not an owner who talks. There's not a general manager who really talks. There's not a coach, because he's an interim coach, who feels like he does talk, but he's not really sort of the face. Who is the face and the voice of this team? Zeebo's not there anymore. Tony's not there anymore. Mike Conley, who was always a go-to guy in the locker room, isn't there anymore. And so every single game, it's Mark, 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 Mark. Every single issue, whether it's Tyreek or anything else, it's Mark, 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 Mark. And he has had to stand there and stand there and stand there and answer for the organization many times, I think, when he doesn't necessarily believe in what the organization has done. And yet he's done it basically like a pro, patiently. I mean, there was the game after Boston. He didn't talk to the media. I get it. That was on a road game, so I wasn't there. But I think he's held up remarkably well. In terms of the future, I think that's totally dependent on what happens. I think if what the Grizzlies are trying to do is successful, and I think the odds are against it being successful, but it's not impossible to imagine it being successful. If what the Grizzlies are trying to do works, which is to reboot, bring back Tyreek, have a healthier Chandler Parsons, have certainly a healthy Mike Conley, add an impactful player in the draft, and be right back in the playoffs next year, well, then you can imagine a scenario where, yes, Mark would play out the next 2 years of his contract. If, on the other hand, the opposite happens and it doesn't work and Chandler's hurt again and maybe Mike's hurt again, or maybe the rookie's not ready to play and maybe we have not a repeat of this 15 straight losses, but of basically careening around at the bottom of the standings, I think then there's a very good chance that he will be traded by the deadline next year, because at that point, why let him walk away at the end of the season for nothing? I don't think at that point Mark would be worth a huge amount at the deadline, but he would be certainly worth something. And so I really think it's how this summer goes and the start of next season goes that will determine how the rest of Mark's career at Memphis goes. I do think it's funny, in Powell's remarks before the San Antonio game, although they were advertised as Powell being critical of the organization, I didn't really sense that. I just thought Powell was expressing his sympathy with his brother for the fact that losing is hard, and basically said, of course he's frustrated, and he should be, because losing is hard. There was a glancing mention of sort of some decisions by the organization, but that wasn't the focus of the comments. And then the other thing is, he absolutely did, Powell did amplify that his situation was very different than Mark's, that when Powell asked out, he was young and the team was cratering and he wanted to spend the meat of his career, the best years of his career, on a competitive team. Well, Mark actually did spend the best years of his career on a competitive Grizzlies team, which wasn't available to Powell when the team was cratering, after they'd gone to three straight playoffs. Whereas Mark has spent the best years that he has to give in Memphis. And now it's really just a matter of sort of winding down. And so he's not in the same situation that Powell was in. And who knows, in the end, he may choose to go the Dirk Nowitzki route, where you play your whole career basically with one team, even though they're now Dirk at a championship. So that's a little different, but still, I don't rule that out. And I certainly don't rule it out if the Grizzlies are able to do what they're aiming to do, which is thread the needle and bounce right back and be in playoff contention next year.
They're going to need a lot of things to hit, and we'll talk more about that here momentarily.
A lot of things
are going to have to hit.
Yes.
There's possibility there. There is. And I'm with you on this, Jeff. And as I feel like I'm alone on an island sometimes, at least among folks that are like me. I admit when I'm wrong. You know, I admit I don't talk about stats or anything like that. I'm just me. And sometimes I have reasoned thoughts that work out, and sometimes I have unreasoned thoughts that work out. And some, you know, I'm a human being who does this because he enjoys doing it. And it's a situation where I've been wrong on Mark in the past, and I've been right on Mark in the past. And I think that he deserves credit for what he's doing with players. And I do think that he has earned the benefit of the doubt with this organization for the reasons that you outlined. In his prime years, he was a part of a very good Memphis Grizzlies team. And that is a group of players that, and it pops up every once in a while, like when Zach or Tony's number was retired, and you have Nashville folks or Nashville media or other national media questioning why, especially Tony Allen, you know, talking about putting his numbers up in the rafters, why in the world you would do that. Zach Randolph, why would you do that? You know, people don't get it. If you experienced it, as I was fortunate enough to experience it for a few years living in Memphis, and then you obviously with your entire career there in Memphis, if you were fortunate enough to be there and kind of experience it, it makes total sense. And he's a big part of that. He's that core four, you know, that we would talk about so often. He's obviously, I would argue, the best of those four. He will probably go down as the best Memphis Grizzlies player in history until maybe, you know, whoever they draft in the first round, knock on wood, maybe they can come along and push that mantle away in the name of progress. But Mark is a guy who, if things continue to go south, if things continue to weaken and go out, I think he has earned the ability to be able to go to the team, say, I made my best effort, I want to go win, can you help me go win? And the Grizzlies, one thing that they have working in their favor is, again, I can double check it. I'm pretty sure I checked it earlier. That last year of Mark's contract, I'm fairly certain, is a player option. So if Mark gets sent somewhere, say Cleveland or Boston or, you know, someplace like that, heaven forbid San Antonio, he could promise that team that he'll opt in and they'll essentially get 2 years of Marc Gasol, who Marc Gasol, you know, I've said it multiple times, this team is a cast of misfit roles, or they misfitting roles that they don't fit where they're supposed to be. Mark is currently the best player on this team. That's not him anymore. He on a good to great team would be the second or third best player now. And I think that that has value if you can have that for a couple of years to a team, maybe even like Washington, you know, somebody like that. So there's value in Mark still. And I do agree that I think the Grizzlies would be wise to try to maximize that. Do you think this is an interesting way of phrasing this. Maybe you can think of a better way to look at it, Jeff. But do the Grizzlies, I said Mark deserves it. Do you think the Grizzlies would owe Mark anything? Obviously, in professional sports, you do what's best for you and yours in terms of the business. But, you know, loyalty, we talk about Memphis and this organization being a little bit different. Do you think they really owe Mark something if that were to come to pass?
Well, I almost think it's more convenient than that, because I think if the Grizzlies aren't good at the start of next year, if they're not in playoff contention at the trade deadline next year, I think that, well, I do think the Grizzlies would be inclined to help Mark do what he wants to do. But I really think that their interests align at that point. So I don't think that it's a situation where it would be against their best interest, and yet they do it because they owe Mark something. I think if it works out that they're not in playoff contention by the trade deadline next year, well, then it's to Mark's best interest, I presume. It's in Mark's best interest to want to go play for a playoff team somewhere. And at that point, the Grizzlies will know their best interest to get what they can for Mark and to help him therefore go somewhere else. So I don't think it's necessarily a situation where you have to think about who owes someone what. I think you'll have a deal, if that's what comes to pass, where it's in the best interest of both the team and the player to find a fit for him that can also bring back some return to the team.
Finishing up here with Jeff Calkins of 92.9 FM ESPN Memphis. Follow him on Twitter if you don't already, at Jeff_Calkins. We talked about this a little bit throughout our segment here, Jeff, and again, thank you for your time. So let's say they hit 1,000 this summer. Mike Conley comes back 100% healthy. Marc Gasol reinvigorated because his little buddy Mike Conley's back. He plays better next season. And again, he hasn't been completely bad this year, but he's certainly been down from what he normally is. Let's say Chandler Parsons somehow finds a way to stay a relevant basketball player and stays on the floor for 55-plus games, playing roughly 25 minutes a game. That doesn't, again, that's never going to add up to what his contract says he is, but he is a decent basketball player when he actually is on the floor. The question is keeping him on the floor. So if you get him for that vast majority of the games, if you do somehow hit a home run with Tyreke Evans in the mid-level exception, if you do somehow win the number one overall pick and you get the shot at drafting Luka Doncic or DeAndre Ayton, do you see this team actually making the playoffs next year if that's all that happens? If they sign Tyreke to that mid-level exception, they accept the team options on Andrew Harrison and Wayne Selden. Obviously, Dylan Brooks has shown to be a capable player, maybe a starter in this league. You have other guys who have kind of come along. Deontay Davis, Darrell Martin have shown flashes. Kobe Simmons will be back next year. If you just do those things, those four things, Conley and Gasol being healthy, Parsons playing a vast majority of the games, Tyreke Evans coming back on the mid-level exception. Again, like we said, a lot of home runs that need to be hit, but if those things fall in place, can this Grizzlies team get back to the playoffs after a one-year absence in your eyes?
I can imagine it. I would not predict it. And I honestly can't imagine all those things happening. I think the most far-fetched is Chandler Parsons. So I don't really put a lot of stock in Chandler Parsons being even the effective player he was in a limited role earlier this year. But I can imagine it. I think some of it is well, let's just take the draft. Let's say they get the number one pick and pick DeAndre Ayton. Well, then they're going to have a heavily stacked front court, and they're going to still be pretty bereft on the wings, right? I mean, you're going to have – I think Wayne Selden has been a disappointment in terms of his development. So you've got Dylan Brooks. If you're not counting Chandler Parsons, and let's say you bring Tyreke back. So you have Tyreke and you have Dylan Brooks. But, like, who are you really counting on the wing? Is Andrew Harrison good enough to be your backup point guard on a meaningful role for a meaningful team? Obviously, he's shown improvement. He's not the complete disaster that he had been at different stages. I do think – so I don't really think in that circumstance that that is all they would do. I think in that circumstance they might well trade a big, try to get a better wing or something. I think they would need to do some balancing of the roster. On the other hand, let's say it's Luka Doncic. Well, that is a different situation. And if I actually think their best chance to make back to the playoffs is to draft Doncic and have him be a stud. Now, I don't know if he is going to be a stud. All I know is what I see on YouTube videos and what you hear from people. He looks a little lack of explosiveness and athleticism, but he's obviously succeeding at a very high level in a men's league. And you would think actually he would make Mark happy to have another international dude there. So if you could slide him in as a wing and have Mike and have him and Dylan Brooks with the progress that he's shown, and I can imagine it. Sure, I can imagine him fighting for the eighth seed. I think, again, as you point out, it's a lot of things to hit. And the odds of when you have all those things that have to hit, A, Mark has to stay healthy and has to not fall off a cliff. Mike has to come back and be healthy and be the productive player he was last year. You have to get lucky in the lottery. You have to, let's say you pick Doncic, he's got to be good. You've got to have Dylan Brooks be ready to make another step. You have to, maybe you need more from Wayne Selden. You need, you know, what, so there's a lot of things that have to hit. And when there's that many things, the odds of all of them hitting are pretty remote. But I don't think it's completely far-fetched. I think we have seen that when Mark and Mike are healthy, it's a good team. Even at the beginning of this year, we saw that. And we saw that when Tyreek, if you're stipulating that he's going to come back, when he's in the role of the sixth man, it can be, it's a perfect role for him, and he's a very effective bench player. And there, so I think there are the bones of a good team there, if you can stay healthy. I just think the health at this point, given their age of the key players, is the biggest thing. That's the biggest reason why I find that whole scenario to be less likely as opposed to more likely.
I just have a hard time seeing Tyreek Evans coming back. I mean, I know the
well,
money's
I do
too. Not
I, again. You're right. Yeah.
I mean, Chandler Parsons. Go ahead.
No, I mean, look at the money Zeebo got. You know,
that's what I was about to say.
You just look at the money Zeebo got. You just need one team that's going to pay him, and so I understand that the market is not what it was 2 years ago when Mike got his big deal, but it wasn't what it was last year, and you had Zeebo getting $24 million. So I don't think Tyreek, but that was not the question. The question was if these things happen, and I do think, particularly, if he's gone, then your wings are really – we've seen it. Without Tyreek, they're easily the worst team in the league. It's why when they didn't deal Tyreek, I was so enraged. And it wasn't that I was so interested in whether they were going to get back for Tyreek. I just thought Tyreek single-handedly, particularly operating in this universe where he doesn't have any other players around him, he's particularly effective. He's just – he can really carry a team. And so it irritated me because I thought he was going to totally ruin the draft pick. Well, as luck would have it, he got hurt. And it'll be very interesting to say if he stays hurt and how long he can stay hurt, because he still has the potential to wreck that draft pick. But he has been tremendous. And I think if he's back in that role that he was in the early this year, and you got a healthy Mike, a healthy Mark, Dylan Brooks playing well, and some stud who comes in and is rookie of the year quality stud, that's what we're stipulating. Well, I think that can be a seventh or eighth place team. But so many things. And as you point out, Tyreek may be the least likely of all of them.
Unfortunately, Chandler Parsons is, as you mentioned earlier, and you know how much that that hurts my heart to say. But
yeah, I know, Joe.
I think he's the largest stretch. Evans being second. I think you'll get Mike back healthy. I think Mark will come back healthy. And you're right. I haven't begun my research on the draft yet. Again, it feels early for that because – my experience in Grizzlies fandom is we're usually getting ready for a playoff berth, but you know, some folks are gearing up. They remember the days of the lottery and they're kind of building to that place. It's really going to be interesting to see how it all plays out. I like Doncic. I like Ayton. After that, guys make me nervous. You know, Bagley seems to be pretty good, but there's a lot of pieces there that are going to potentially make Memphis that much better of a team. Jeff, thank you so much for your time. It's appreciated as always. We'll have you on down the road.
Thanks, Joe. Bye.
All right, there he goes. There's Jeff Calkins of 92.9 FM ESPN Memphis's Jeff Calkins Show. Make sure you're following him on Twitter if you don't already do so, at Jeff, G-E-O-F-F underscore Calkins. Great guy, great writer, and a great piece of Memphis sports history at this point. I mean, he's a pretty big one down there in Memphis, and it's appreciated whenever he hops on with us here at GBB Live. You're listening to the podcast, the flagship podcast of GrizzlyBearBlues.com, Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am your host, Joe Mullinax, flying solo this week. My co-host, Brandon Connor, not able to join us on the show. Our next guest will be joining us here momentarily, but I do want to talk about the Grizzly Bear Blues Live question of the day that I tweeted out earlier in the day today on this Thursday as we record live. The question of the day kind of was connected to the article that I wrote about Becky Hammon being a possible option for the head coaching position. The GBB Live question of the day poll was, who would you rather have be the head coach of the Memphis Grizzlies next season? The options were J.B. Bickerstaff, obviously Becky Hammon, San Antonio Spurs' other main assistant coaches, Borrego or Messina, and then Jerry Stackhouse. That Jerry Stackhouse, the head coach of the Toronto Raptors G League team, who's having some success, and his name pops up in coaching searches as well. Thanks to the 218 voters who participated in the poll this week, the winner was overwhelmingly J.B. Bickerstaff at 43%, but obviously not getting a majority of the vote. Becky Hammon came in second, so maybe I'll give myself a little bit of a pat on the back with the article I wrote. Maybe that swayed some opinions on Becky's possibilities. San Antonio's Borrego or Messina were right behind at 24%, and then Stackhouse was way in the back and fourth at 8% of the vote. So what stands out to me is, A, a lot of folks are happy with J.B. Bickerstaff and what he's done. B, there's also a large section of the fan base, a majority of the fan base, that would prefer to see somebody different in that spot. Whether it's Becky Hammon, one of the other San Antonio assistants, or Jerry Stackhouse, that or those options earned 57% of the vote, whereas J.B. earned 43%. So while J.B. seems to be an item or a piece that fans want to be a part of this process for years to come, at the same time, there's still a large chunk that would be interested in getting somebody new in here. The purpose of the piece on Hammon was not to take advantage of International Women's Day. It was not clickbait. It was not to say that Becky Hammon should 100% be the next coach of the Memphis Grizzlies. The purpose of it was to say that Becky Hammon deserves an opportunity to interview. She should be considered. And I think that it's foolish to say that she doesn't deserve that opportunity. I mean, she was an elite player. She knows her stuff as a coach. She's coached men in the summer league. She led the Spurs to the 2015 summer league title. She's done a lot of pretty impressive things. Oh, by the way, she's learned from one of the greatest of all time, Greg Popovich, and she'd be a branch of his coaching tree, which has had others strike out on their own and find success. So I don't think it's that far-fetched. I really don't. I like the idea of Becky being in the mix. And I think that she's going to be a head coach in the NBA. She's in the mix for the Colorado State job, the men's job, as we speak, according to reports. So I don't think it's really that strange. And if she stays in San Antonio, the movement is kind of there. And I think she's a fit to be that person, that first woman head coach, whether it's Division I. Again, if Colorado State's legitimately interested, that's on the table for her right now. But at the same time, it could be a situation where down the road, you know, 2 or 3 years, I don't really see her slipping that far in terms of being a future head coach in the National Basketball Association. So check out that article over at grizzlybearblues.com. It's one that's generated some unique perspective this week. And GBB has not shied away from these hot takes in the past. Atlanta Deladon has been talked about by Jonah Jordan, now of 24/7 Sports, with the Memphis Tigers. It really is something to kind of keep in perspective. You know, basketball is unique as a sport, and basketball is at the forefront of a lot of these progressive movements in our country. You see Kevin Love, DeMar DeRozan talking about mental health. You wouldn't see that in other sports so openly. So I think there's really a possibility for Becky Hammon to have a shot, and why not be in Memphis? You know, now the counter to that, and I say this in the article, is you need to find somebody who actually wants to be in Memphis. I think that's a challenge in and of itself, considering the ownership questions, considering all of the issues that have gone along with that. It's going to take somebody that's willing to, A, be in a position that they just want the job. And you also need someone who really, really, really can control that locker room, you know, regardless of gender, regardless of whatever their preference in life may be on a variety of things. They need to be able to command the room because there's strong personalities. And if you don't approach them properly, if you don't stroke the ego well enough, you'll have somebody like Marc Gasol who will not necessarily cost you your job, because I don't think that was the case. David Fizdale didn't help his own cause in several ways. But I do think that Mark not being happy with him and it being made public certainly hastened or brought about the end of Fizdale's time in Memphis. So the coaching search is going to be interesting to watch play out. Hopefully one of those assistants will come through. And I do think J.B. Bickerstaff has earned a look. Listen, he has started and played so many different lineups, so many different players, guys who it was a question whether or not they would make an NBA roster 6 months ago, guys where they were never supposed to be starters, like a Dylan Brooks, or the second best player on the team, like Jamichael Green. There's so many guys outside of their ideal roles. It's intense, and he has handled it all with professionalism. He says the right things, does the right things. Marc Gasol, like I mentioned with Jeff, has really kind of stepped into his own as a leader, and I think that that needs to be respected and admired. He's doing something that I have not seen him consistently do publicly, at least. You know, you hear that he does a great job behind the scenes, or he's done a great job behind the scenes in the past with those young guys. Now you're seeing it right in front of your eyes. It's there out in the open, and he's coaching, he's teaching, he's playing the role of mentor, teacher. Oh, by the way, he has to try to put up 20 to 25 points a game just to keep the Grizzlies in this thing. It really is a good job by Mark. And I think that if you're going to critique Fizdale for not being able to reach Gasol, you have to give Bickerstaff credit, whether he's reached Gasol or not. That might be up in the air because of Bickerstaff's up in the air status with the organization. But Mark is not a cancer. Mark is not out there just blatantly messing around. He's actively trying to win. I think a big part of that is his competitive nature. But I also think a large chunk of that is the fact that you don't really hear him because he's doing his best. I think he gets it, and I think he respects Bickerstaff, and there has to be something said for that. So JB's earned the opportunity, but the Grizzlies have said that they're going to kind of hold off and wait and reevaluate towards the end of the season, and we'll take them at their word on that, of course. And the end of the season for the Grizzlies isn't that far away. I believe the last game is April 11th, so not too far. Still holding out for our next guest here on Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am your host, Joe Mullinax, once again flying solo, not with Brandon Connor this week. And I do want to give another shout out and mention a player in Dylan Brooks, who is just so, I've called him the steal of the draft, and I still think it's true. Nobody saw this coming with Dylan Brooks. People were hopeful. I think they were optimistic that the Grizzlies, instead of going for some random Europe